Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. My guest today is no stranger to listeners of Voice of Vashon, Susan McCabe. Susan has been a force on the island, a creative, a writer, a volunteer who's been helping with environmental initiatives, theatrical initiatives, performance, all the while leading her own business as a writing and editing coach and consultant. So, Susan, I'm so excited to interview you today and find out some of the stuff that I don't know about you, including your creative journey. Could you start by taking us back, sort of on an aerial view, of who were you at 19 and what were your creative aspirations and how would you have spoken about yourself as a creative? And then give us some of the highlights on your path.
At 19, I was a completely different person than I am now, as probably all of us are. What was my creative path at 19? It was about dance, and it was about writing, and it was about adventure. I wanted to have adventures.
Did you see yourself as becoming a performer? You were probably in college at the time. Did you want to go on to a professional career?
I dropped out of college after my first semester, but I had started in a performing track. For a lot of reasons, I dropped out. So after that, I was working.
Mm-hmm. And then did the need to make a living start interfering with your creative life?
Absolutely. I, not long after that, got married and had children, and then I became a single mother, and yes, so the need to make a living was there almost immediately.
I saw in your bio that you define yourself, in part, as a journalist. Were you a writer back then? Were you a journalist as you were heading off to be a new mom and make your way in the world?
You know, I think I probably always was a journalist, always interested in getting this story, and I ultimately, as a single mother, got my degree in journalism and went on to be a radio journalist at first.
That was good practice for Voice of Vashon.
That's my roots. I love radio. It's been my favorite medium forever since then.
Why did you leave?
doing radio journalism in a small town in central Illinois did not pay the bills for raising two children. Plus, it required that I work from 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. 6 days a week.
Oh, my gosh.
Not good for raising kids. So I went to the dark side.
You went corporate.
I went corporate.
And right. And what was your job there? Were you writing?
Generally, writing, producing. In my corporate life, I did a lot of creating magazines, internal communications, external communications for a variety, from hospitals to healthcare organizations, to insurance companies, wrote a lot, created a lot of magazines, and also began producing video and events.
Well, clearly you were writing a lot as well as producing events. Did you think of yourself as a writer? Did you harbor any aspiration to do something that was more than corporate as you were paying the bills with your corporate work?
Yeah. I have always thought of myself as a writer. Everything I look at, or everything, most everything I experience, particularly now, is I consider material, much to the dismay of my family. But yeah, I've always been a writer, and it was always about creating a story, one way or another.
Now, I know some people, in pursuing a creative career, whether as an artist or as a writer, want to avoid doing it for their work, with the idea that if you've been writing for 10 hours on the job, there's not a lot of juice left to write about you and all the discoveries and the adventures that you have to write about. Was that true for you? Did it kind of sap a bit of your spirit?
Oh, yeah, a lot. When you are writing for corporations, when you're writing public relations and marketing materials, you're writing basically other people's words, or you're putting other people's ideas into words that they think are theirs. It's a fine line, and it's a both a creative process and a creative challenge, because you have to adopt someone else's voice and then make it sound good, even if it's not. Some of the people that I worked with in corporations were not writers, not creatives, and when those kinds of people are reviewing your creative work, it's very soul-sapping.
I could totally get that. I remember I was so disillusioned when I got out of graduate school and I got my first job at a small company. And I realized that not only could the president not write, but he couldn't spell.
Yeah.
And he had no appreciation for writing or spelling or probably many of the skills that I had. And I had always thought that to be at the top of a company, you needed a certain skill set, and I was very naive.
Yes, a lot of corporations, particularly early on in what might have been our careers, were based on military construct. So the guy at the top was supposed to have all the answers, but he actually got them from the people below him
and took credit. It got him if he was smart enough to listen. And we're saying he, which is also dating ourselves.
Yes, that too is true. Yes, right.
So how did you decide to leave corporate?
I got my kids through college, and I decided that I wanted to have a writer's life. I got them out of college. I learned how to be an animal groomer just in case the freelance writing thing didn't work out. And I had been fortunate in my work to be traveling around the world, literally. And I kept coming back here to the Green. I loved the Green. I had friends here. And so I moved to Vashon Island to be a freelance writer. And lived the dream. I also took with me the international portion of my work in Chicago, just in case.
Which is handy, because I think when people, you know, drop off, or not drop off, but move into their own creative adventures, if you're not going to have a day job, it's nice to know that you're not going to have to create all of your income and sustain yourself.
Right. Yeah. Right.
What do you think what have been the highs and maybe the challenges of moving into this more independently creative stage of your life on Vashon?
Well, the highs obviously are, wow, I get to do whatever I want. And the lows are, wow, nothing happens unless I do it. And that can feel like a struggle.
Especially when you've been working in a corporate setting where there were people who could do your tech, people who could do your bidding on some level for some of your initiatives.
Yeah, to some degree, yeah. It was also a matter of, because I was trying to find a certain amount of corporate work here just to pay the bills, what I learned was in Chicago, the portfolio of my work spoke for me. Here, that was not true. It was who you know, not what you know. And it took me a long time to begin to build a network of people to whom I could get referrals or from whom I could get referrals.
Was it rough to do that from the island? I remember a friend once told me, she said, how do you think you're going to be marketing yourself from an island?
Yeah. That didn't make a whole lot of difference to me. I remember when I first moved here, I thought, I have to get off this island at least 3 times a week.
I see.
That's, of course, changed completely, but...
What's your idea of success in living a creative life, and has that changed over time?
Oh, absolutely. I think getting past the point where I had to prove something as a career person, as a woman in corporations, as a woman doing public relations and marketing, getting past that point where I had to prove anything was a delight. And then the joys become digging into my own stories, the stories that I see around me, the stories that I want to create, it really becomes a joy. Am I answering the question that you asked?
You are. And the curiosity that I have was, because I write about aging, and I'm really interested in what happens to us as we age and move away from our career-driven years. Mm-hmm. Did that give you more freedom, as you call
it? Oh, absolutely. Like, I don't have to have a job. I don't want a job. In fact, people keep referring me to jobs, and I'm saying, no, I don't want a job. I'll take your contract, but I don't want a job. I don't want to be beholden to somebody else's agenda, and I don't have to be.
And yet you still support yourself with your writing and editing business on
well,
the side.
Well, yeah, partially.
Partially, mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's also interesting because I think there are a lot of people on Vashon who do the partial thing, you know, who are devoted to their craft and their art, but they need to have a little something on the side so they have some side gig that brings in a little money.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Yeah. That's how people on Vashon survive.
They do, but I also want to add a little plug because I love your writing on Substack. I read your
Thank
stories.
You.
And so I think it would be a delight for anybody who has a story to develop to be able to work with you. So you're also a resource on Vashon. And that kind of writing, editing, seems like it would keep you closer to your own craft, to your own desires.
That is keeping closer to my own. Yes, right. I'm happy to work with other people's work. In fact, I find it fascinating. I occasionally do writing workshops, and that's a joy because what people produce in a few hours when they're kind of under pressure to do something almost exclusively turns out to be beautiful and heartfelt. It's getting people to write from their hearts that is both a teaching and a learning. I learn from watching other people dig into their hearts. And I think that's what beginning to write your own stuff is about. It's digging into your heart and to your truth.
I think it would be a joy to take a class with you because I know now with so much being offered online, there are a lot of writing resources out there, but there's just something about cooking with a group where you where you know you can trust these people and you see the person who's running the class and you know that she's going to run a safe space and you have a limited amount of time and you just go and nobody's judging you for what you create, but you have the sanctity of that space. I think that would be a wonderful space with you.
Well, thank you. I like that. And it does become cathartic. And I like singing and dancing and painting, all those creative endeavors in this culture are too often judged as to whether they are commercially viable. Oh, is it good enough? Is anybody else going to want to read this? How can I publish this? And I go back to years ago when I was a student and I was running the nightly television news on campus. I interviewed an African marimba band leader, little bouncy guy, incredible energy. And I said, so when did you start singing and dancing? And he said, my dear, in Africa, when you can talk, you can sing. When you can walk, you can dance. And in my view, when you can write, you can use it. You use it as a catharsis. You use it for yourself. It's demoralizing what we do in our culture that says, is it good enough? It's always good enough.
So what would you say to someone who's maybe new to the island or maybe not and wants to live a more creative life? Perhaps pursuing one of their passions from years ago, or maybe starting with something new. What kind of guidance or tips might you give them for beginning that process or experimenting?
Just do it. Do it. Find, you want to paint? Get some paints. Do it. There's a whole lot of instruction on YouTube, like for how to do watercolors or possibly how to do acrylics. I can't swear to that. But you can learn almost anything on YouTube if you feel like someone needs to teach you. If you don't, just give it a try. There are also fabulous classes here at the Vashon Center for the Arts in drawing, in theater, in there's a few folks that are doing improv, which is acting on the hoof, is great for stimulating any kind of creative juice you want to get going, because it puts you on the spot. And when you're on the spot, it's amazing what you'll find in yourself.
I heard, I think it was who's the woman, Elizabeth Stroud, I think the novelist, who didn't get going until she did improv. Because it opened the tap and got her out of her own way, which is, I think, part of what we have to do when we're living a creative life, is somehow figuring out ways to get out of our own way. Because even though it sounds really great to just do it, I don't know about you, but I have gremlins. I have the little voices that have hung out for a long time and said, how do you expect to learn this if you only have 10 more years? Or are you ever going to want to show this to anybody when it looks like this?
Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, the critic.
The critic, yeah. How do you coach yourself when the critic is up?
Jeepers. I have a terrible time with that. When the critic comes up, there are times, like I'm currently very involved with the writing of Brian Doyle, which is exquisite and beautiful and delicious and sensual. And I read it and I think, I can never write again. Everything I write is crap compared to this, which is, of course, I think what every writer goes through. I hope to get out of that soon. But so that's my critic comes up and sometimes I fold. Other times I argue with it. Other times I decide, all right, go back and re-edit. Look at it again. Or set it aside and come back as though you've never seen it before, if that's at all possible. But fighting that critic is a constant challenge. I read something once that said, talk to the critic. The critic is somebody back in your childhood. And that person really shouldn't have any power anymore. But if you say to it, I understand your need, and I understand you want to be a guide to me, but you can rest now. I don't need you anymore. So that way you kind of make friends with the critic and quietly send them off rather than creating a conflict situation within your own head.
And ending up criticizing the critic, which it's the wrong path to
right,
go down.
Right.
Plus, you know, when I think about Brian Doyle, what I remember most of all, besides his writing, really was his laughter. The guy had such a tremendous sense of humor, and you've had a sense of humility. So I'm sure if you were doing a writing session with him and you said, I don't think I can write like Brian Doyle, he would have probably just broken up laughing, and you would have been laughing too.
He had that kind of wonderful humanity.
Last point. I saw in your bio that you consider yourself, and I know this from your experience, both an environmentalist and a social activist. Are there times when you think it's selfish to be pursuing your own writing and, say, journaling about your own experience when our planet is so at risk?
Yes, very much so. I don't know how other folks feel, but there are times when I have to fight the despair of what's going to happen to our planet, the despair of what are we doing to each other in wars, the despair of our political situation and how people of low income are being jailed more frequently, are being killed more frequently, are being kicked to the curb, basically, and that the capitalism run amok is depriving the rest of the culture, or the rest of the country at least, the rest of the culture, world globally, is depriving folks of basic needs, yes. So very often I feel guilty about pursuing my own, but the other piece of that is sometimes I write about those things because I think they're universal. And that's, in my view, as an essayist, the idea is to take your personal experiences and make them universal. And I read a lot of great essayists who do that very well. Brian Doyle was one of them. Another is another woman on Substack named Patty Dye, who brings her personal experience right to my heart. Annie Lamott is another one. There are plenty of folks out there who have learned how to take what's going on in our lives as individuals and bring us all together by making it universal.
It's so beautiful. And I think it's also the reason why some of us need to live a more creative life, because in the face of a system with so many problems that almost wants to break us, as it breaks many people, to be able to claim the agency of saying, I wrote a good sentence, you know, I played with paint, I still care about the world, but you're not going to break me, you know. To me, that's really important, and it's one of the real benefits of pursuing this creative path.
Yes, I agree with you. It is one of the benefits. It's heart-filling. And I think when you are expressing yourself, that's valuable. I think it's important to know that yourself, with a capital S, is of value. And when you put that in front of you, when you express it somehow, whether it's art, writing, singing, dancing, performing, playing with your kids, it's of value.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything I should have asked you today about you and your creative life or your aspirations for the time ahead?
Well, you know, like a lot of us at this stage in life, I'm seeing a lot less time in front of me than what is behind me. And so I feel an urgency to get that done, to get it all down and hopefully share it with others. But first of all, getting it all down.
And do you have a specific way you're going to do that? Is it through the Substack? And I would heartily recommend that people check out your Substack as you start writing it again. It may be on pause.
I am on pause at the moment because I'm trying to edit the essays that I created via Substack and before into what I call a bathroom book. Something you can put next to your toilet. And none of the essays are so long that they'll give you hemorrhoids.
No, and they're delightful. And for anyone who doesn't know Substack, it's not quite social media, but it's a platform where writers can do long form or even short form essays. And you can hear from people that you might not have heard from otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was following Susan until she took this pause.
Yeah, right. And I hope to be able to re-up at some point.
If people want to be in touch with you or find out, maybe even tap your writing and editing services, how can they find out about you?
I have a Facebook page called Hannah Inc., I-N-K. I have a personal Facebook page, Susan McCabe. And my email address is susanmccabe8848@gmail.com.
Well, thank you. You know, I followed you I've been a secret admirer for quite some time, watching how you have supported Voice of Vashon, contributed to the environmental work, done your work behind the scenes with performances like the Vashon Repertory Theater. And I just want to thank you hugely for your contribution to Vashon. It has really been substantial.
Well, you've made my day, and thank you so much. I am also an admirer of yours, Sally Fox.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.